Life Takes Guts with Nidhi Swaroop. Hi, and welcome to the podcast series from the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. We will be bringing practical information to patients diagnosed with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Family members and friends will also gain a better understanding of our life after diagnosis. We believe that our conversations will bring hope and empowerment to you as we journey together. Enting, after 5 months of pain in her stomach, diarrhea and ulcers in her mouth, diagnosed with Crohn's disease at 14 years of age, how has the journey been in the last 9 or 10 years?
Hi, Enting. Welcome to this episode of Podcast with CCSS. It's a pleasure to have you share your journey with our listeners. Just to get started, maybe you can share for how long you've been living with IBD and how old were you when you got the diagnosis?
Okay, I've been having this disease since I was end of sec 3, so which is around 14, 15 year old, and I'm now 24, so there will be about 10 years of living with Crohn's. Yeah, and I feel that, initially it was a pretty rough start when I first had the diagnosis. So I had quite a bad tummy ache, and also it's like more of like, you know, like a punching kind of pain, like someone like punch you in the stomach, that kind. Yeah, so I feel that it's been quite persistent for about 5 months or so. And so when I see the normal GP, they were saying that, oh, it's nothing, could be maybe you are having some back cramps or something like that. Yeah. And then I see multiple GPs, and I feel that, you know, GPs, they tend to say it's nothing in a major, or it's just something minor, just something about stomach. And the ulcers could be because I was having braces, they say like I was like playing with my tongue or something, then it got cut. Yeah, so then
one of the teenage issues, yeah.
Yeah.
many teenagers would go through having braces and yeah.
Yeah, correct. So they didn't like think it's anything lah. Then when I see like I think the fourth doctor or so, she tell me that okay, maybe it's something, because it's been quite a long time since I'm having diarrhea and stomach pain and the ulcer, and it's quite bad. So she recommend me to go to KK to see doctor. Yeah. And then I see the specialist, and then he said that I should get hospitalization to check, to do a colonoscopy just to make sure that it's not anything, because the blood shows that it's quite bad. My inflammation marker was like I think around 100. Yeah, so yeah, I got watered and did the scope. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you say KK, you mean the Children's Specialist Hospital? Yeah, you had gone there, and you did have ulcers in the mouth in mm-hmm. the beginning. Yeah, so that is why the GP was suspecting that it has something to do with the braces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it wasn't considered as anything very serious with the digestive tract. Yeah. Mm. That was the initial thought and the line of treatment. Yeah. So when you did have the colonoscopy, so between the first ulcers and the colonoscopy, how much time had gone by?
Actually, it was like about a couple of months, still around 2 months. Because when I had seen the specialist, he told me that he need to make sure that it's actually not, like, it's really something to do the colonoscopy, or else it would be no point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Make
yes.
sure, like, the blood is really indicative and the stool test and all is really, like, show some signs. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, okay, then you do.
So then the justifies, yeah.
Yeah. So the waiting process around 2 months, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so after the colonoscopy, can you recall the conversation and the feelings? Like, what were you told about the illness at that time?
At that moment, they told me it was Crohn's. So I didn't really know what Crohn's was. I was like, okay, Crohn's. But he told me that it's long-term, it's chronic. And I was like, okay. So I was quite perplexed because I didn't know what to expect. or what can I do to prepare, or what can I avoid to trigger this, or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I was like so new to it, and yeah. I was like so confused at the moment as well.
Yeah.
He explained to me some of the things. I'm like, okay, like ulcers, like diarrhea, like you need to not eat. Then I was like, why does people can eat and have nothing but I have to not eat?
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to rest? Let my yes. stomach rest, but people do not need. So I was so confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 14, I think like I couldn't understand, but I just did whatever I was told to do.
Yeah. How about your parents' response to this diagnosis of Crohn's disease?
They're also very confused. So they went around seeking a lot of opinions, mm-hmm. like ask the doctors, like their friends, or anybody who know like some information about this. Google a lot. Yeah.
So was there something that helped you guys understand more about the illness?
I guess. Like, we will seek opinion from many doctors. Like, last time we were in KK, so we only had one opinion from one doctor. Mm-hmm. And the doctor suggested, like, surgery may be required in the future. So mm-hmm. my mom was so scared. She went to know more opinion. And mm-hmm. this doctor was really nice, and he gave us your contact, the CCSE. So my mom get to know more people. This organization and no doctor. Last time was Lin Kun Lin. Yeah. Yes. And then she want to find out more and understand from the people around.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good that at least our charity was around at that time. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's very good that, you know, like, we can understand more from this organization. Like, we have the talks and all. I really like understand more and share with people. Yeah, yes. I really benefited my family and myself on how, like, what to prepare and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you be able to recall, although it's been quite a few years, but what was the thought process when you were sharing about the illness with your friends?
With my friends, I guess, I don't think they could understand as well, because at that point, when it was really bad, like, when I was having the modulant diet, like, for 6 months, then I have to bring milk to school. And I don't think my friend understand I need to not eat and just drink milk. So my friend just accompanied me to the, because I was so shy, I had to like hit somewhere to make the powder, then drink it. Yeah, I don't want people to ask so many questions and all, because I don't want to explain so much to people who don't understand. And later they also like scared, like they will like mock me in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't want to have so much attention lah, that I just hide somewhere. But thankfully, my friends are really nice. They just help, like, accompany me to make the milk and all, finish it, then we go down to, they will eat, I will just sit there. Yeah.
This is the meal replacement drink, yeah? It's a nutritional drink. And for how long were you supposed to stop taking any food?
Technically, the doctor said that I'm not supposed to eat. I think it's 4 months or 3 months-ish. But after that, right, I was so scared. I like having this mentality that so long if I don't eat, I will be healthy and I will be normal. So I want to volunteer to extend the modulant myself. Yes. Yeah. So I extended like another 3 months or 2 months-ish.
Okay, so yeah. you didn't miss taking solid food, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
but because of the pain and the discomfort you were feeling earlier, this was a better option for you.
Yeah. Because I was so traumatized, like all the needles, I really cannot take needles. I'm so scared.
yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when you were going through this journey, how were you coping with, at school we have the extracurricular activities, the co-curricular activities. How did you manage those?
Well, in CCAs, I was in concert band. So I guess it's not like a very outdoorsy or like sporty kind of CCA. So mainly just sit down and play the instrument. So So I, because of the modulant diet, I'm so tired and I don't think I have the energy to participate in, you know, the drills, like the stand up, sit down, marching, those kind of thing. Yeah, so I just told my conductor that I'm really not feeling well and I don't think I can be physically there to help the team or contribute anything at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I have to excuse myself for like 5 months-ish.
That's a long time. And what kind of support were you looking for from the teachers?
I did tell my teachers about my condition. I think they didn't really ask so much lah, but they just say that, okay, if you really need this, anything, you just let us know. Because I think I told them about the modulant thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know about it. So they just let me do what I need to do. Yeah, like if I'm alone with my friends in the classroom, they won't be like, oh, okay, suspicious, you know. You can just do what you want.
Yeah. So as long as nobody was obstructing your plan, you had to take some time off to do the mixing of the nutritional drink and take it, and you're attending classes. So does that mean you didn't have too much of diarrhea, going to the toilet many times?
It's quite bad. Like, because modulant, right, is also liquid. So the diarrhea is pretty frequent. Yeah. Mm. But then the teacher is understanding. They say like, okay, just I would explain like because I can't eat and all, I need to go more frequently. Then you say, okay, just go as you need. Yeah.
Okay. So approximately how many times a day did you have to, you know, have diarrhea? That
I guess maybe like 4 times, around 4 or 5. Yeah.
2 to 5 times, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I understand. Yeah. And when it comes to at home, yeah, like how long did it take for your, let's say, cousins, your aunt, uncle, you know, the relatives, for them to really understand what you're going through?
Sometimes they will ask a lot of things that are, you know, not so, I think, sensitive in a sense. Mm. Yeah, they will say like, oh, you put on a lot of weight because modulant is really fattening in a sense. Yeah. And also I can't work out because like I'll be so tired. It's only just drink, right? We don't consume any solids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be so tired. I can't work out. I just keep drinking. And of course I feel bad myself, like, demoralized about the physical appearance, and they don't understand. So they will say, oh, you look healthier.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. Many people equate heavier equal to healthier. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
It's quite the opposite case in our situation. Right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So we had to like spend more time to explain to them like because of this, and I hope they understand. But they also understand that like after this modulant diet I have to eat more cleanly, which I also like try to be more aware for my what I eat, like at home I want to eat more steamed food and less fried food and all. Yeah, they understand. They weren't like, oh, eat more, you know.
Yeah, when they're showing their love and care, they want to feed you more. So, yeah, okay. So they understood that there is something that, because of that, they can't be forcing you to eat. Yeah,
right.
They kind of respected your boundaries, that only certain things you can take, and they let you be.
Yeah,
you know, choosing by yourself, you know, what is okay, what is not okay. So that's very nice of them. So when it comes to something that you would like to appeal, you know, let's say from members of the public, what would it be?
You mean like what we want people to understand?
Yes.
Okay, I would say that I don't think this condition, Crohn's or colitis, is very well understood by Singaporean public. So sometimes when we need the toilet more urgently than the others for, you know, like because we are on liquid diet or things like that, then I would wish that, you know, people would understand by knowing that this condition will have this necessity, maybe through like, you know, talks and more awareness on the media, people will be more aware and understand of such condition is not like an excuse.
Yeah, and especially because most of us would look okay, right? Mm. The outward appearance, it's almost like when we call certain illnesses invisible illnesses. Mm. Yeah. So Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis are invisible. So people will not really understand when we say, oh, I'm not feeling well, that's why I need some priority access. So in a way, when the public gets to know a little bit more, hopefully when we say we have Crohn's disease, they will immediately understand what we are talking about. So yeah, that will ideally be a situation.
Yeah, yeah.
In the near future, more people will understand what we are talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
agree.
Correct. And when it comes to medication, I believe after Modulin, a bit of control over the symptoms would have been achieved. But then when it comes to medication, how receptive were you to taking medicines? Because normally doctors would tell us it's for life. Yeah, for the rest of our life, we have to take medication. What was your feeling when you heard about this?
Actually, to me, I started off as consuming mesalazine. So it was really low side effect, I would say. Yeah, so it was okay. Until when I started azathioprine, there's more complications like cannot have exposure to the sun, low immunity and things like that. I was quite shocked that there's so much side effects to it. I mean, not so much, but like, you know, it's not normal. Yeah. So I was quite shocked, and when I know that it's lifelong, I was quite not so open about this idea. But I keep asking if there's alternative or like if there's things that I can do, so maybe in the future I can stop and things like that. Mm. Yeah, but apparently the doctor say that no, you can't stop it. The worst is only you can get more more severe medication. Like Humira or infliximab and things like that lah. So they can suppress even more of your immunity, which is can be even more scary in that sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, for medication wise, I will still take it regularly. I won't skip medication. Yeah, but at the same time,
you were a good patient.
Yeah.
ideal patient who will follow the instructions and
yeah, because I was like so scared of like what happened previously, like so traumatized by the hospitalization stay. Yeah, I will try to do what I can to minimize anything from happening.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very good, because compliance to the prescribed medication is so important. Yeah. Then we are able to manage the illness. So fantastic. You did very well.
Do you skip medication?
No, I didn't also. Yeah.
For
the longest time, I was taking about 10 tablets a day. And I never missed a dose. Yeah. Even I thought similarly that we should be doing our part. It is important because the doctor can prescribe, but it is up to us. Only when we follow the instructions will our body slowly be better. So, yeah, that was quite important for me also.
I think it's important to be compliant now, because initially I was on mesalazine. I thought it's really nothing. So I skipped a lot of medications. I thought it was okay. Until the second flare is so bad, then they give me the azathioprine. Then I'm a lot more diligent already. I don't skip anything.
Yeah, that is the next level. It's an immunosuppressant, right? Because mesalazine is like a remission drug. And if it's not managed, then definitely we would need either steroids or immunosuppressants to manage the condition. Well, I must say that I'm not a doctor, but I'm just sharing what little I know as a patient. I was on steroids for a short while, for a month, I think. Yeah. So, but luckily, yeah, it can be managed even with the remission drugs. And yeah, you're right that when it comes to immunosuppression through medication, then there can be other restrictions we need to follow. Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. So we all of us also wonder if food plays any part in our disease. And How did you identify any trigger food, you know, in your case?
I think it's different from people to people. Like maybe some people is spicy or some people it's whole grain and it will cause more diarrhea or sensitivity in the intestine. But for me, I think it would be maybe dairy. I wouldn't say like complete dairy, but like maybe don't take too much. Yeah, just a little bit is okay, but not like overboard. Yeah. Spicy, I guess it's fine. So I think mainly dairy and oil, I guess, very oily food. Yeah, it will cause diarrhea for me. Yeah, I think my stomach will get very sensitive to those.
Okay. But you were able to take all fruits, all meats, vegetables, everything?
Yeah, actually, I do take whole grains and fruits. I think those are fine. Well, meat-wise, actually, when I was young, like maybe sec 3 or 4, I wanted to stay healthier. So that's when I was like so traumatized that I would really do anything I can to make myself stay healthier.
Yeah.
So what I did was I tried to go vegan for a while, a while only, maybe like 1 month-ish. Mm. Yeah. And I think that, okay, my body is reacting well. I don't get tummy pain and all. And then that's where, you know, I went a little too much. So I was losing weight. Yeah. Then I have to incorporate more things into my health. Like by eating more like maybe eggs or tofu or fish, those. Yeah. And then slowly I incorporate a bit of meat, maybe just seafood. Yeah. But I still think that like maybe reducing the meat intake could actually, I don't know, one way or another, like have some positive or some a bit of effects on my body lah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. How about red meats? Were you taking like pork and beef and other red meats?
I think last time I did, but during the stage where I was trying to be a bit more health conscious, I trying like different style of food that can make my body feel a bit more comfortable and less pain and discomfort. So I tried to eradicate meat at some point, and I felt that it was a good result. Yeah,
okay.
So I continue that, and currently right now I've been just eating like fish or seafood and like vegetarian food. So I would guess that's pescatarian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That's
so
right.
I turned pescatarian like maybe 3 years back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure there are many listeners who would like to know these things, and that's why I'm going into a little bit more details as to. What has worked for you? What has helped you? Of course, all of us know that each body is different. So something that works for you might not work for me. But there are certain common factors that when we talk in a group, we realize red meats is one of those things that most of us try to avoid, and it kind of helps us.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing those details.
I'm glad that we are aligned, no sort of meat category. Yeah.
Then I'm wondering if there was any time in your journey over these years that when there was a need for surgery, was that discussed with you and were you scared about?
Yeah, actually, to me, I felt that surgery is not really necessary for me because, I mean, obviously, like, I was young and I'm scared of knives and procedures and all. But at the same time, the doctor told me that the reason why I needed the surgery was because I was almost healing. But at the same time, it's only this small specific part of my the ileum, the connection between the large and the small intestine. So
the terminal ileum.
Yeah,
terminal
correct.
Ileum. Yeah.
Yeah, terminal ileum. So it was just that portion was quite badly inflamed. So he's saying that maybe if we just remove that portion, then we join the large and the small intestine together, then it can cause less flare-ups in the future. But I was saying that, can we negotiate on this?
Okay.
So I say that I can take Modulin for more months, but I think that because of that, my intestine can rest more and maybe the flare can be less severe in the future. So he was quite adamant at the moment. He said that actually it's really better for me if I just do the surgery. yeah, even the surgeons came and discussed with me if I actually want it. I just keep insisting I do not want, and I'll follow every rules that is given.
So ultimately you did have the surgery, is it?
In the end, no, I didn't have any
you
surgery.
You didn't have?
Oh, yeah, I didn't have in the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but thankfully, yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah. So it's been how many years since that discussion?
It was 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have kind of negotiated successfully.
Yeah, and I think I was like very, very compliant and
yes.
a bit of luck here and there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think not everyone would be so fortunate that it would work out, because for some cases it does become pretty serious and they do need to go for surgery. So we have to be mindful that when a doctor is suggesting something, we can try some other ways of delaying it, but then it can also lead to an emergency situation where surgery
right.
is needed, right? So we need to be mindful that as long as we are aware what's happening and work closely with the doctor, then they would be able to tell us, you know, like, let's say the markers in the blood are going superbly high and we are saying, no, we don't want surgery. Then one day, suddenly we have to rush in for surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
So it's yeah, you're lucky that it worked out the way you wanted it. So fingers crossed, and continue to be a good patient. So, as long as we do the best we can, hopefully
yeah.
things will remain good. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, you know, like, what are some of the strategies you have maybe used for managing stress and anxiety, something that has helped you along the way? Yeah.
I would say that I used to be quite on the go, the kind of person, in the sense that, like, in my every exam, I just want to do the best. I just want to get good grades and things like that. And I was putting so much stress on myself because nobody is like expecting, pressurizing me, or even my parents. Like, they are not saying that you have to be like the top student or get the best school or anything. Yeah, they are like, just do your best, like, don't stress, because the more you stress, you know, the worse this condition can be at times.
Yes.
Yeah, and stress is a very big factor for causing relapses and all.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I try to chill as much as I can. Yeah, I mean, not slack off, but chill a little bit.
Yeah.
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 So don't give myself too much expectations and stress. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were just working smarter. Instead of stressing yourself to do well, you were just managing it in a way that you were still performing at an acceptable range.
Yeah.
Right?
Thankfully.
So some patients do share that part, that the illness made them work smarter.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we have less energy. We are more fatigued, right? So within those same number of hours, if we don't work smartly, we lose out, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, we are forced to work in another way.
Yeah.
It's actually better.
Yeah.
It's just better.
More efficiently.
More efficiently, exactly.
Yeah.
So that is very nice and good. So, and when it comes to socializing, you were still able to go out with your friends and, you know, relax. You were able to do those things, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I think socializing is fine for me. My friends, sometimes they will, you know, at times they will do the supper hop, or like they want to eat like fried chicken, a feast or something.
Yes.
Yeah, then, you know, those kind of things, sometimes I will reject, like politely reject, like I really don't feel good for, you know, late night suppers, because, you know, my intestine like need to rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't really go out. Maybe I'll go like breakfast or something, yeah, but not late night.
Yeah. So you were more attuned to your body, that your body is more comfortable doing things in the morning as opposed to late in the evening. So you actually shared. Yeah, we when we are able to share and freely speak with our friends, then they also understand where we are coming from, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to another person who might be so shy to talk about it. And then we just withdraw and our friends wouldn't understand, isn't it? And in a way, then we are left alone to cope with everything. There's no way we can relax then. Yeah, the stress level will keep going higher.
Yeah.
Alone, how much can you manage?
Correct.
So, fantastic. In when we think about the future, let's say in the next 2-3 years, what do you hope to see happening that can help you?
I would say that maybe listening to the doctor's advice, it's really important. Yeah, try not to disobey, or, you know, there are times there are temptations, or like, you want to do what you want to do. They said like smoking. Yeah, so smoking is actually can aggravate the condition. So social smoking and all, like just try to abstain from those lah. So peer pressure and all, still have to follow
the instructions. Be a good boy, good girl. How about social drinking?
I would still drink a bit, but not like you say no, you need to drink more, like you drink, but I was still drink a bit, just a sip and all.
So you're being cautious about the impact of it, but have you seen a direct link that in case you drink maybe two drinks or three, then there's something that happens, or you are already conservative when it comes to it?
I guess I'm a bad drinker to begin with.
I can relate to that.
Anything can happen, I just gone already.
Okay. Yeah. So water and juice is good.
Yeah,
okay. Stay safe. Okay, fantastic. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, Anting, for sharing your journey so freely, and keep up the good work. And we hope all the best to you in the future. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you found today's conversation useful, and we look forward to you joining us in the next episode. For more information about joining the patient support group, please contact the Crohn's and Colitis Society of Singapore. You can reach us via email at admin@ibd.org.sg or WhatsApp at +65 9756 4066. Do visit our website www.ibd.org.sg to know more about our annual seminar, financial assistance schemes, and how you could join us as a member, meet other patients, as well as parents of children living with IBD.